Hi, and welcome to episode number 28 of Life Lean In. Man, where we're all in process. We're not perfect, but man, we're trying to get better. And so here's the deal. Today's topic is really spiritual in nature, because I think a lot of people are asking the question, is this the end of the world? That there's so many things happening in our world, so much destruction and chaos, and all these things are happening, these attacks on Israel. Is this possibly the end of the world? And so I want to give you a warning about the end of the world. And so here it is. First and foremost, Jesus said himself that the end is near. When he was teaching 2,000 years ago, he said that the end is near. And that was 2,000 years ago. And so you'd better believe the end is nearer than it was then. But he also said that no one knows the time in which it's going to happen. No one knows. Now, there are some things that allow us to see some things play out that will lead to the end of the world. One of which is Jesus said that the whole world will have had an opportunity to have heard about him and have taken the opportunity to respond to him, whether to receive him or not. Well, I personally believe, and it's my opinion, that during the pandemic and even during our age and this stage of life with technology, our ability to broadcast messages and get the word of God out to everywhere and anywhere at the blink of time, man, I believe that this moment has come, that every single person has been able to hear the name of Jesus and be able to receive him or not receive him. So I believe that the end is absolutely 100% near. And again, Jesus said that himself when he was walking the earth. So here's the question. And honestly, at the end, I have a warning for you. The warning is going to come in just a few. So hang on. I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. But are you asking the question, man? Are you wondering, man, is this the end? Man, this seems like so much chaos and so much anger, destruction. Man, there's war after war. Man, we're killing each other. All of this stuff is happening. Nations are rising up against Israel, which what God would say at the end. And I want to throw out a couple just freebies from my opinion. You know, a lot of people are wondering, like, should we come to the aid of Israel? Should America do that? Will the Iron Dome, will it protect Israel? What is our reaction supposed to be, the Hamas or the Palestinians? Well, I got to tell you this, first and foremost, that God, the nation of Israel, God's people, God's chosen, they're his. And the Savior of Israel is not the Iron Dome. The Savior of Israel is not America. The Savior of Israel is not everyone coming together to defend them. The Savior of Israel is Jesus Christ, period. It's Jesus Christ, period. Now, there's some things that I want to give to you that will give you some context about leading into the end of the world, to Judgment Day, to all of these things that are going to happen towards the end. Man, all of what you need to know is that every time God brought judgment into the world and onto the world, he removed those who were faithful to him before the judgment came. You need to hear that. Every time historically that God has brought judgment into the world, he has removed those who have been faithful to him out of it before he brings the judgment. You want some examples? God removed the people of Israel, right, from Egyptian slavery before he brought the judgment on the people. He gave them a relief, right? They put the blood on the doorpost. He took them out of the situation where the Egyptians were going to lose their firstborns. He removed them from the judgment that he brought on the Egyptians. Even before that, God found one man named Noah, right? Before he brought judgment into the world because of all their sinful and rebellious behavior, before he brought the floods to wipe everything out, he found one man who was faithful, to God, that he was upright in God's sight, and he removed him before judgment came. You see this happen over and over and over again within the scriptures. Every time that God brings judgment, he removes those who are faithful first before he brings it. Which leads us to the question that we're at right now. What is going to come? And I want you to ask the question, how can I be prepared for this coming judgment? Now, I want to share with you a couple of texts in the Bible to frame this for you, because I think so much of what's happening in our world today is a key to let you and I respond to God in a different way than we have been. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, now the people, Israel and the people of God, man, they had been asking, man, God, man, can bring me judges. Give us judges so that we can handle this life. We can navigate through disagreeing opinions. We can navigate through people doing wrong to each other. Bring us judges. Bring us leadership. And then in 1 Samuel 8, we see this group of elders of Israel. They gather together. This is 1 Samuel 8, starting in verse 4. It says, all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, look, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. In other words, you're old, you're going to die, and your sons aren't as awesome as you are. They're not as upright. They're not as God-fearing. They're not as honest. They turned aside after dishonest gain. They took bribes, and the sons of Samuel, they perverted justice. Okay. So that's why they're like, no, we don't want them. So this is what they said. The people asked Samuel, the man of God, they said, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now look at the response. He says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. This displeased Samuel. So Samuel went to God and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So here's what happens. All throughout history, people have had the choice to accept the Lord and make him king, or they've had the opportunity to reject him. And over and over and over again, you see this pattern where people reject God and he brings judgment into the world. Those who accept him, man, they are set free. They are saved from the judgment that is to come, and they are free. They're alive and living well. But here's the deal. It's your choice. It's your choice. And so here's what's happened. If I were to look at our culture today, our context, our nation, our world, we have so many voices rejecting God, rejecting God's word, rejecting who he is and who he's called us to be. And that's why you see all of these perverted versions of justice and perverted versions of government. Man, we say, I don't want a judge, man. Give us a king. Man, I don't want a king, man. Give us a government. I mean, I don't want a government, man. Give us socialism and Marxism, and let's get all these different things. It's us saying, God, we don't want you to reign over us. Man, we want to do it our way. Man, and we think, what we think is we think it'll be better. And it never has been. It's never been better. The only time it's better is when we accept the Lord, when we accept God for who he is. We accept his word and we live it. We obey it. We say, God, your ways are higher than our ways. They're better than our ways. And man, we're going to heed to your ways. And when God sees his faithful, he removes them from judgment. Even though we probably could be judged, we probably had gone astray, but we've remained faithful. We've said, okay, God, you are our Lord. You are our Savior. And so in our world today, I want to ask a very simple question. Would you rather have King Jesus, or would you rather have all of the shifting cultural, governmental systems that have come and gone and been destroyed? Do you want our way? Do you want your way? Or do you want God's way? Because one leads to life and the other leads to death. And as we approach the coming of the end of the world, I want to bring you another scripture that is so important for us to understand from a scriptural standpoint. And this is the warning. Okay, this is the warning to all of us. And we find this in Matthew verse 25. And he says, he's talking about this parable. And he says this, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, blessed of my Father.'" In other words, there's some on the right and there's some on the left. There's two versions. Those who have accepted God and have lived out his ways, or people that have rejected God and said, "Man, we want to do it our way." Those on the right, the king will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In other words, God has prepared a kingdom for you. He's prepared a place for you, a place of beauty, extravagant love, never-ending hope and light and perfection. God has prepared this for you. "I was hungry," he said, "and you gave me food." In other words, you've lived this out. You've loved me by loving other people. "When I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." And man, instead of coming against people, we brought them close. We brought them to love each other and care for each other. "I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Jesus said that you would know his followers by the way they love each other, by the way that they love people in a world filled with hate and violence, in a world filled with condemnation and constant judgment and constant slinging of words and cursing and fighting and bickering. Jesus said you would know his followers by the way they love people. And that when they loved them, they were loving him. And he just explained that those are the faithful. Those are the people that he sees as upright. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, "The righteous will answer him saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" So friends, how you love people and care for people is, it comes out of your love for Jesus, the fact that you've received him, that he's loved you more than anyone else ever has or ever will. And you've received that love. You haven't rejected it. You haven't pushed it aside and no, I know better. And you're shaking your little fist and God's face, Almighty God's face, saying, "Man, I know better and this is the way." No. I love this. And then he will say to those on the left hand, in other words, there's two people. There are those who have received Jesus as Lord and have lived out his ways. They see his word and they obey it. Those on the left, those who have rejected God, to them he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire." Now check this out. "You will be cast into the everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels." In other words, friends, listen to me closely. Hell is a real place, but it wasn't created for you. It was created for Satan and his people, Satan and his angels. It was not created for you. So my warning to you is you can choose God and choose the place that he's prepared for you, a place of paradise, perfection, where there's no crying, no tears, no pain, no sickness, no hate, no evil, nothing but light and hope and love. That is the place that God has prepared for you when you receive Jesus. But if you reject him, and it's your choice, if you reject him, if you say, you know what, I don't need you, God, I'm going to do it my own way, then friends, judgment is coming, and it's your choice. God did not prepare hell for you. He prepared hell for Satan and his demons. But if you reject him, you're choosing him also. You're choosing to reject God. And in other words, you're choosing to reject the place prepared for you, and you're choosing to accept the place that was prepared for Satan himself. There's two types of people. And at the end of the world, the Bible says that the rapture will come. The rapture is when God takes his followers out of the world to be with him. And then he brings judgment onto the world for those who have not received Jesus. And so my question to you, my warning to you, is have you received Jesus? And if you haven't, I want to invite you to do it. And don't wait. The Bible says that Jesus will come back in the blink of an eye. And let me tell you this, the blink of an eye happens in a nanosecond. And when he comes back for his church, for those people who have faithfully followed him and received him, in the blink of an eye, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take them out of the world before he brings judgment. Listen, those of you who have not received Jesus will not have the opportunity to receive him when he comes back in the blink of an eye. There won't be enough time. And so my warning to you is don't wait. Don't wait. There is a place prepared for you with a God who loves you, with a purpose that far exceeds anything you've ever experienced in your entire life, where all of your pain is gone. All of your tears are gone. All of your anxieties, depression, fears, gone in the name of Jesus. Is the end of the world coming? It is. When? I don't know. The Bible says it's the Father in heaven alone that knows. But what I do know is there will be two people. There always has been. People who have accepted God, Jesus Christ, and those who have rejected him. And at the end, there will be people that end up in paradise with God eternally. And there will be people that reject God and end up in a place that wasn't prepared for them, but they chose to reject him. They chose to reject God. And because of that, they will receive judgment. So on one hand, you have a Savior who can rescue you from destruction. On the other hand, you have your own way, your own ability. The question is, do you trust in yourself to get through it in the last days? Or do you want to trust God? I can't answer it for you. You have to answer that question for yourself. I want to invite you to trust Jesus, to put your hope and your faith and your love in God himself, who loves you, will rescue you, and will save you, because he's prepared a place for you that is better than anything you've ever experienced in your entire life. You give your life to Jesus and you will receive life. You reject him and you will receive death. The choice is yours. It's a warning for the end of the world. I hope this is helpful. To me, this is the most important question you can ever decide or answer in your life personally. And honestly, everything that we do in life hinges on this particular question and how you answer it. And so, man, as we dive into life leaning, man, we want to learn about how to experience life and life to the fullest right here and right now, that you can experience God's eternal purpose, that you can experience God's love and purpose for your life right here and right now. You can experience his joy, his peace. You can experience his goodness and his love right here and right now. You don't have to wait. So I invite you to take a step towards God. I want to invite you to our church. I invite you to New Life Church to come be a part of what God's doing, to experience God himself. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make to choose Jesus, and it will lead to life. I hope this is helpful for you as we navigate the world around us. And don't ever forget this. Nobody's perfect. We are becoming perfected. We will receive perfect bodies when we enter that place prepared for us with Jesus. But we're not perfect. We're all in process. We're faith-filled people pursuing God with everything we've got. So never stop learning. Never stop growing, and keep leaning forward.